All right. Let's see. Where did we live off? We did money. Okay, you're not going to like me.
You don't like that enough.
You have an exam. Section 1 exam.
Oh. Heard the blank.
We're now back. Who's
was
that?
That was mine.
Okay. All right, here's your next session. That one that I gave you, I thought I had it all, but that this goes on the top like that, so now that's your section. Okay. So take a section that's yours, put that underneath. A staple, there's a stapler to mix it together. Just follow that section one I gave you. I gave you one page, a section two that goes in front of it.
There you go.
This goes on top of that.
Go ahead of us, kid.
Okay, quickly. All right. Just so that you know, all right, just so you know, indigenous means local. It means that it comes from the soil of the people. You don't want to implant, you know, an American church or an Irish church in Timbuktu. You want it to be a Timbuktu church with the gospel. All right. Section 2, missions and the men that God uses. God is concerned with the salvation of man. Jesus died for the sins of man. Then God calls a man to do his work. What's amazing is the Holy Spirit gives his power to a man to do that work. There are three parts to world missions. One, praying. All Christian men must pray. Giving. All Christian men must give. And going. Some must go. If all went, it would be a disaster. Right? It is not necessary that all goes, but some must go. The meaning of the word missionary. Missionary is not found in an English Bible. It is a Latin word. Missionary is from the Latin, which means a sent one. S-E-N-T-O-N-E.
A sent one,
like an apostle. That's what it means. But there's another word for apostle. But missionary is a sent one. Apostle is from the Greek word, which also means a sent one, which is the next statement there, Barry. I predicted you to ask. Okay. So, what is a missionary? A missionary is a man with a mission. You know, dun, 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 dun. All right. Saved by God's grace, trained by God's word, called by God's Holy Spirit, enabled by God's people, all so that he can go preaching God's Son. Now, the biblical term is an evangelist. An evangelizer. Now, sometimes we talk about, you know, evangelizing meaning preaching the gospel. And that's what we should do. But there is somebody who does the work of an evangelist who is their ministry of evangelizing. His mission is to evangelize, do the work of an evangelist. An evangelizer is a soul winner, a church starter. And all biblical missionaries are church starters. You need to circle D because I'm going to ask you, you know, can a missionary be somebody who, you know, takes care of the poor and feeds them and clothes them? That's not a missionary, that's humanitarian. Christians should be humanitarians. And you may go and take food, but your goal is not to feed people. Your goal is ultimately to start a church there among those people you're ministering to. Yes, Weston.
Yeah, it's just... I suppose if it's Matthew 28, I suppose to be sent is it to teach and preach. And
all Christians need to be doing that.
Yeah, but does it say a church anymore, like, isn't it?
He's talking to
the Christians to go out, teach, baptize. So he's speaking in the context of developing local churches. You don't baptize just to get them wet. You don't win them just to leave them and go.
So, Jonathan Philip, Ethiopian eunuch.
There are always exceptions to it. If you're on an airplane and you're giving somebody the gospel, it's like, all right, I'll see you next week right here, 7 o'clock, Sunday, and we'll have church on the plane. Now, there's exceptions, okay? All right. So, number E, a woman missionary doesn't actually really start a church. She may split one, but she doesn't start a church. That was a joke. But is called to help a man missionary to start a church. So, in other words, a missionary is someone who goes out into the highways and hedges and compels people to get saved, and then groups those new Christians into local churches so they, as a unified body, can obey the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19-20.
So, Pastor, you don't have to be really a qualified pastor to start this up, do you?
Anybody can start it, but can you pastor it? Can you manage it? Because God does call them overseers, not just... I mean, you can win people, you can get them into the Bible, but, you know, a missionary, a true missionary, actually has the end in view. You start a church that you want to be grown up and mature when you're finished.
Because, we need two people to love. They don't have a step.
You have a Bible study in your home.
And that's a church.
Not necessarily. Not unless you... I believe a missionary needs to have a calling. Okay? They need to... Everybody should be a soul winner. Everybody should be helping church getting started and strong and growing. Everybody should have Bible studies, answering questions. But we're going to talk about in the next section that God uses men to gather those people and organize them into an entity, an organism called the New Testament Church. People can make money, but there's some who make businesses. People can win people to Christ, but there are some who actually organize them into churches and get them really strong. So, number five, the pastor is called by the Lord to a church, but a missionary, church planner, is called by the Lord to a city. Does that make sense? To a country, to a region. Usually a missionary goes into another country outside of their own. They usually have to learn a new language, a new culture, and they have to be willing to risk their lives to get the gospel into another country. Number three, personal characteristics which are helpful to the missionary. This is a guy named Herbert King put these together. He said you need to have emotional stability, maturity and stability. You know, your little irritants can add up a lot and can stop you from being a good missionary.
Like what?
Like Weston. You know, the little irritants. Can you imagine if Weston was preaching and he says, by the way, does anybody have a question to this? I've always wondered this. It's like, Weston. I don't have my pastor asking more, so I'll ask my congregation.
I would. I'd be asking questions.
Emotional maturity and stability is number one, I believe. Good night, man. Being able to adapt to different climates, different foods. You know, if you went to Central America, guess what? They might feed you a chicken head.
Mm-hmm. That's in the genes, isn't it? So we would have to eat.
Anyway, different customs, different religions. You better know the religion you're witnessing to and talk about. Don't just talk about them. Know them. You need a good sense of humor.
You need a good sense of humor.
don't push me. God's work is a serious business, do not misunderstand, but we don't have to be so overly serious about ourselves that we kill everybody around us. We need to be able to laugh at yourself and at your problems. You need to have an attitude of cooperation. Look at Philippians 2:4. Let's go around Edberto. Philippians 2 and verse 4. As missionaries, we're part of a team and should know how to get along with others.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
This is one of the greatest disasters in modern Christianity. We care only about our ministries. We care about our families. We care about our house. We care about our image. We care about everything that is very, very selfish. And the Bible says, work with other people. Look on what they're doing and work together in caring about a bigger thing than just your job, your ministry, your retirement, your car, your everything. And we have an attitude of cooperation, you know. Don't sit there and go, everybody's got to follow me or you're wrong. That's wrong. A willingness to listen and take orders. I despise people who give orders, and yet they've never learned to take orders. I believe if you're ever going to be a missionary, you had better have been a good church member beforehand. You better have been a good employee. I don't like, you know, the modern crop of missionaries who've never worked a business a day in their life. They never learn how to take orders. They never learn how to work with people. A good follower always makes a good leader. Number F, the ability to endure difficulties and afflictions. 2 Timothy 2:3, Barry. And afflictions.
So therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Hardness, afflictions, the ability you need to endure. Don't give up, don't quit, don't say this is hard. Of course it's hard. The story is told of a football player in American college football. One of the kids had come through secondary school and never played football, but was a great runner. And so the coach saw him and said, I need you on my team, and brought him into American football. Now, you've seen American football. It's very aggressive, very deadly. Anyway, put this kid to be a runner. He was what's called a tight end. And the quarterback who has the football, this guy would just bolt like a cheetah. And so they would throw the ball to him. It was such a great, great team they were developing with this guy who could just get down to the end zone, get down and catch the ball to make score. Well, they did a scrimmage. They did a game. Their first time putting him out there against an opposing team. So anyway, he's sitting on the sidelines. You know anything about American football? They speak in tongues. They go, hoot, hoot, hoik, which means nothing except, you know, give me the ball, all right? So he drops back. The guy heads out, and I mean against an opposing team, all right? Throws the ball. He jumps up in the air, grabs it. He's 30 meters down, man. Grabs it in the air, comes down. As soon as he comes down, there's an opponent right there. And boom! Into another guy who, boom, that kid is knocked three times before he's crumbled on top of by all the other opposing teams. He gets up, he walks over to the coach, he goes, I quit, and throws the ball down. He said, why? He says, that hurt. And the coach said, of course it hurt, it's football! The idea is, when people get into the ministry, you're going to get hurt. You can't sit there and say, well, I wanted to be the, you know, the praise of everybody. I want everybody's attention. No, you're going to get hurt. So don't quit. Number G, don't be in a habit now of always looking for shortcuts. You know, a lot of people, rural life in the world, is in most of the world, is good for teaching endurance and hardship. And a lot of people want to go to the big cities. They want to go to a place where it's easy. They want to just live and relax. You go to a rural, third world country, you'll find out how hard life is. Have patience and perseverance. Do not feel superior to others. This is the attitude of many missionaries in the past century. All you had to do was be white and walk into a community that was poor, starving black folks, and you were worshipped. Hudson Taylor did much to show a new attitude towards culture in dressing and eating like the people he ministered to. You'd have to become like Bear Grylls. And never do not have a racial prejudice. R-A-C-I-A-L. Racial.
Prejudice?
Prejudice. P-R-E-J.
Yeah.
U-D-I-C-E.
U-D-I-C-E, okay. Well, what would that mean,
Pastor? Where you look at the people as inferior to you, and you look at people and you go, you know, I can't go into their homes. I just can't get along with them. Really, you'll tell it. You'll tell it when your stomach turns and you say, I just don't want to be around these people. You know, if God calls you to people, whether you love them or not, you must learn to love them. Mm-hmm. Jonah was a great illustration of somebody who was called to a people he detested. God called him to them. And he was wrong in his attitude. He was racist in his attitude about them. Racist meaning, they're not like me. They don't know God. They deserve to go to hell. That's racism. Now, I want you to be reading, I say the wrong pages there. It should be chapter 5 on the personnel for missions by next week. Page is 35. Well, mine's just chapter 5, whatever it is in your book. Just chapter 5, yes.
What chapters were we supposed to do last week? 2 and 7.
Yes.
7 is a long one.
I know. All right, the call of God to the ministry of the word. Let's do a few more pages. We'll go for about another 10 minutes here. Got to get some things done. The practical implications of the call of God to the ministry of the word of God are far-reaching for the life of the individual believer. I mean, it changes your life. A positive response may transform a seemingly insignificant vessel into a vessel of glory and honor, which may become a channel of immeasurable riches of God to unfold untold multitudes of people. If negligence or disobedience leads to sidestepping the call of God, that life must be expected to be spiritually impoverished and dwarfed in spiritual nature. What's that mean? You do God's will, and it'll be awesome. You don't do God's will, and it will starve you to death. It will ruin your life. Not that your will... See, some people actually want to do the ministry because it is the greatest thing to do, and I think it is. But it's not the right thing if you're not called to do it. You'd be a fool to do it if it's not your calling. We're going to talk about it. Why is it every time we start it, you guys are already headed to the... Every Christian needs to be willing to do the will of God, no matter what it may mean or involve for them. So let's look at the call of the missionary. The call of God on a person is threefold. One, you are called to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but to all should come to repentance. A call to repentance. Secondly, to sanctification and holiness. And it's in this order, folks. You don't get cleaned up until you've repented. And you don't get serving until you live a clean, holy life. The third one is to service.
Well, that's an ongoing thing, that sanctification.
Mm-hmm. It is ongoing, but you ought to have some victories.
Yeah.
You ought to have where your life's getting cleaned up. God can use a vessel that is even in the process of being clean. The problem is we want to do God's work before we've been cleaned up. If a man therefore shall purge himself from these things, one of my memory verses this year, purge himself from all kinds of false ideas and also false thoughts and heart problems. If a man therefore shall purge, cleanse himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Once you started cleaning your life out, now you're ready to be used. So, to service. All men and women are called to testify or to preach. All are called to work and provide for their families. All are called to minister together as a body in a local church, but few are called to start and to lead churches.
So, number one there says preach and unable to soil in them, is that for women?
Preaching, soul winning. That kind of preaching. Go ye therefore and preach to every creature. It's not about pulpit preaching. No, testifying, preaching, declaring. Number B. You better make sure you know and understand two things. Number one, you need to know and understand your calling. Because your calling is important. You don't have to be a Paul and Barnabas. You don't have to be a Peter to still be called. You need to abide in your calling. Paul actually says if you're called being single, that's a calling. If you're married, don't seek to be unmarried. That is your calling. So number C. And if number two, if you're called, then you better know your field. Number C, the call of the missionary is one more than that of a pastor. A pastor is called to shepherd a church. And the pastor may stay at that church all of his life, or may move on and pastor another church as the Lord directs. Usually it's as they want to direct. But they usually go to a church. A missionary is called to constantly be a going. They're always going. Be compelling. Compelling, C-O-M-P-E-L-L-I-N-G. It's where they're preaching, teaching, instructing, exhorting, subverting, and compelling people to get saved and to follow Jesus Christ. Assembling. But assembling yourselves. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Assembling. A missionary is starting a church from those who do get saved. Pastoring. They're doing all of these things. Now the pastor is supposed to do the work of a missionary. But this is the work of a missionary. You need to pastor that church for a while, feeding, training, equipping the saints to live and function first as followers of Jesus, then as a church, and finally training the young men of that church to pastor that church. E, training. Personally discipling and training every believer in the whole counsel of God, preparing that church to operate on its own at any time in the future. You're training them to stand on two feet. F, commending. C-O-M-M-E-N-D. Commend. I-N-G. That's when you leave that church with its own pastor, and then repeating.
So Pastor, just in a way, you left the talk to some young man,
right?
And you went to start another talk. Do you have to go along to all them talks again to raise funding now? Can you just use the funding instead?
I keep, yeah, they expect me to start another one.
Okay.
And another, and another, and be starting churches at the same time that I'm pastoring this church. Oh. It's a process that you do all the time. and then repeating. G is repeating. Go do the whole thing over again. Now the call to a field. Sometimes people are called only to a ministry. Maybe somebody's called to be a missionary helper, going and working with various missionaries anywhere in the world. Someone called to be a part-time missionary, only going on short mission trips to various countries to evangelize. But they're called usually to people. So called usually, people are called to a specific location, specific work. Acts 1:8. Who can quote that for me?
So you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost.
All right, so he names places. He says, you're called to A, B, C, D, all right? And Mark 16 preaches to every creature. That means you got to go and target. When God called me to preach, I got me a map of Ireland, and I sectioned it off, and I said, I need to learn about every county. Learn about where the cities are. What's it like? I wanted to know what's in Ireland. Matthew 28:19, go ye into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So, you're called to specific. You can't preach to everybody, but you need to go to a specific work and know that work. But more importantly, please mark this down. 3. A missionary is called to a people. You're called to a people. Some important statistics. You know, when I've seen missionaries, I've seen they talk about the land. They talk about how beautiful the castles, the cities, the cars. They drive on the wrong side of the road. But they're not called to all that. You know what they're called to? People. There are over 7 billion people in the world today, 237 countries, 482 cities with over a million people in them, 20 of those cities with over 10 million people in them.
There's only 482 cities in the world?
With over a million in them. That's all right, I'm trying to race. There are 20 of those cities with over 10 million people, and there are 66 nations that have significant restrictions on religion. I mean, you could not take the Bible in them. Out of those 7 billion people, Muslims account for 1.3 billion. Roman Catholics make for a little over 1 billion. Atheists account for 1 billion. Hindus, 820. Buddhists, 400 million. And the various smaller sects account for a billion. Maybe 300 million are evangelized. What are the vital statistics concerning your field of ministry, if you have one yet? Have you started writing your report? How would you reach your field? If you were to just choose a field and go, how would you feel? You got to find out who's there, what are they like?
Their religion, their culture.
That's it. Their language. They don't speak, you know, knock knees. Number 3, the preparation of the heart. I don't think I'll get through this. We'll have to stop there. That's just too good stuff. We can't just race through this. All right. I will get your test to you next week. And don't forget your chapters to be reading in the other book. All right, let's stand. Let's pray. All right, Graham, pray for us. Pray for soul winning is about to take place also.
Lord God, we're just thanking you for this just opportunity again this morning, Lord, just to study your word and just to meet together, Lord, and just to dive into truths, Lord, that you've given us in your word, to understand them, God. I pray you teach us and just reveal it to us through your Holy Spirit, Lord God, help us understand. God, I pray that you just bless the rest of today, Lord God, and just bless the various activities that are going on, like teens tonight, Lord God.
Yes.
And
amen.
Preaching your word there, and I pray also just for the soul winning activities, Lord God, that you just keep people safe, that you keep the weather clear long enough for people to get witness to, Lord God, and I just pray for soft hearts and just for some fruit, God.
Amen.
Fruit that will remain, and pray for preaching your word tomorrow, Lord. Pray for church, God.
Amen.
And bless the day in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
What time is the one in hell? Is it 1 or 1:30?
1 o'clock. We're going out at 1:30, I know, but we're going to try to leave it at 1:30. Hopefully everybody will be here at 1, but maybe we may... I may have made a mistake.
Yeah. You know what you should get yourself? A very, very light stool that you can put on your knapsack.
and stretch and just stretch up. You can sit down and you can do what I normally do. That, you know, it's a huge difference.
Yeah. Come in.
Yeah. We'll bring some with Jenny.
Enter.
Hello. Hi there. Oh, you're freezing.
Yeah. Buy yourself a light. Look, foldable stool.
It's for bowling.
Next week.
You're ready to go today.
I have to use that leg.
Not today, next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It was the 9th, was it? It was the 16th, I thought.
Should be the 16th.
I'm pretty sure.
Which one?
Let me check. Let me check our thing here.
Which one is it?
It was the 16th, right?
Yes, 16
is. 16. Okay, next week.
See you later, Eddie.
See ya.
See ya.
William, are you staying for so long?
Yeah, I can go up. Where are you going?
North side? Did you roll wrong?
I don't know. I'm going to talk about
it. You're going to talk about us or what?
If you want me to stay, I've got to get your roll done.
So the rest of us really have to go to work there.
Yeah.
The church is going.
Sometimes, principles, trees.
Principles, what?
The principle of trees, sometimes they.
Snap.
Past, present, future.
Snap. Next Saturday. Woo! Georgina, all right, see you next Saturday. Good timing, y'all.
I've
waited for us to Sarah and I. We're ready to go on, so I don't have a car. I need to get my car, so you have to carry me off to somebody who has a car.
Maybe Ford in the car and they're going to actually show me to
get myself to
the I don't know, it'll have to be a single right.